When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
Monday! It's Monday. Can we say good morning? I suppose we should. It's a Monday, so good morning to you, if that makes it a little bit better. It's funny because sometimes Bob will send me a text in the morning, and instead of saying good morning, it's just morning. So I know it was not a good night, or he didn't sleep well, or maybe he's mad at me for something. I guess that's happened to you a couple times where we're not having... A fight necessarily, but we had a disagreement that we didn't have a chance to finish talking about. And so I just get a morning the next day.
A grumpy morning text.
Yes, it's okay, though, because I am not an expert or a connoisseur of mornings. I don't do mornings well at all, regardless of when the morning happens to be. I don't do well with waking up. And so I certainly understand. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Unlikely run by an 8 seed. We've got two of them that we're inspecting on this Monday morning. Considering their paths, which one is more unlikely? Which one's more dubious? Which one is more unexpected? Is it the 8 seed Florida Panthers, who almost didn't make it into the playoffs and had to go through the Bruins in Boston, to now reach not just the Eastern Conference Finals, but they've also had a pair of wins against the Canes in overtime? Is it the Panthers, who granted were the President's Trophy winners a year ago, but had to go through the best team in NHL history to even still be standing in the East, and now two wins away from the Stanley Cup Final that they didn't achieve last year, with all the expectation and the promise of having the best record in the season? Or is it the Heat? Now, you can say they're not an 8 seed. They're not a legit 8 seed. Hell yeah, they are. It's the NBA. We don't have a selection committee to determine what line you're supposed to sit on in the bracket. No, you are what your record says you are. You're an 8 seed because your offense stunk most of the season. You're an 8 seed because one day you were world beaters and the next day you look like you couldn't beat anybody. You were Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde all season long, and the offense was among the worst in the NBA in every statistical category. Gabe Vincent was asked about how the heck the Miami Heat have found this version of the offense in the playoffs.
I'd say the process was painful at times and rewarding at others. But definitely right now it's rewarding. You know, it's paid off. We've put in a lot of work. It's been a long season. And we're just playing good basketball at the best time.
They are playing their best basketball at the best possible time. But don't act like you watched the Heat play all season and thought, oh yeah, they're a championship contender. Stop it. They are an 8 seed because they nearly lost to the Bulls in the play-in tournament. That's what happens when I do QB news on the show. Yes, they're an 8 seed. Their record makes them an 8 seed. The play-in tournament makes them an 8 seed. To use the NCAA tournament analogy, they had to go through Dayton. They are exactly what their record says they are. There's no way the Milwaukee Bucks took them lightly as an 8 seed, but yes, they are a legit 8 seed. They earned this 8 seed. Because they barely made the playoffs. Have they been to the Eastern Conference Finals 3 of the last 4 years? Yes. But they still had a very challenging path to get to this point. A 1 seed, were the Knicks a 4 seed? a 1 seed, a 4 seed, and now a 2 seed. That was nearly a 1 seed. And a team that they faced last year. Each of these runs is unlikely. Maybe not in a vacuum where it's just the Panthers and the Heat, but when you take into account their opponents, absolutely. And the fact that they have not had home court or home ice, it's pretty amazing. Don't mind if I marvel. Which one is more unlikely, the Heat or the Panthers? The poll is up on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. It's also on our Facebook page. And we're happy to hear from you on this Monday morning, even as the Boston Celtics are going to feel like they've got a massive hangover. But they did this to themselves. I don't know how on earth a team with this much championship heart and metal, and remember, they're the Eastern Conference champions from a year ago. I know they don't have an NBA title yet, this group, but they're still a team that has put themselves in position. They're a team that went all the way to the NBA Finals last year until they ran into the Warriors. But Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, Al Horford, Robert Williams, Malcolm Brogdon, for heaven's sake. These are not newbies in the NBA. They should know exactly what's facing them in Miami in Game 3. And I'm sure glad that a couple of the guys stood up for their coach following what was an embarrassing blowout, because as much as Joe Mazzulla is a first-year head coach, really, at any level, as much as he is a first-year head coach, why do you need to get your guys ready to play in a Game 3 of an Eastern Conference Finals when you're already down 0-2? Why is that on the coach and not these professional basketball players? They know what's required of them. They know the hole they're in. They don't need a pep talk. Let's go, boys. You can do this. Come on. Maybe they didn't follow the game plan. Or maybe they just went out there and looked like they were stuck in cotton balls. And maybe they didn't adjust. And that could certainly be on the coach, but the players have to bear some responsibility. You can't honestly watch what the Celtics did in the second and third quarters. The fourth quarter doesn't even count. This was a mercy rule game. You can't honestly watch what the Celtics did, the product they put on the court, the lack of intensity, looking like they were not just slower and older, but looking like a team that didn't care as much as the Miami Heat did last night. How can you put that on the coach? Do you think the coach should get credit for Jason Tatum's 51-point performance in Game 7 against the Sixers? So should Jason Tatum give Joe Mazzulla credit for the fact that he was shooting the lights out? Do you know that same Jason Tatum who crushed Philadelphia's spirit at the end of Game 6 and then flexed his muscles on him in Game 7? You think that same Jason Tatum who said humbly, "I'm one of the best players of the world in the world," is going to be blaming Joe Mazzulla for what happened in Game 3? Stop it. If he does, he's a jerk. But also, if he does, he's not seeing the forest for the trees. Jason Tatum, humbly one of the best players in the world, has 0 baskets in the fourth quarter of this series. A couple of free throws. 0 buckets. He's got no buckets. While Jimmy Butler is getting buckets, he's got no buckets in the fourth quarter. How do you call yourself one of the best players in the world? And here's the thing. Did we not? And I use this stat because I said to you, I don't buy into this. I think it's ridiculous. It's a stat used in a vacuum about LeBron James. But did I not tell you on Friday morning, the stat you're going to hear, LeBron James, he's 0-for-19 with 3-pointers in the fourth quarter, going back to the previous series. Shouldn't that be a big deal about Jason Tatum too? The fact that he's got no field goals, didn't even play in the fourth quarter last night. That's a problem in the Eastern Conference Finals. Should be the same criticism for Jason Tatum. It should be the same criticism for the Celtics. yes, the Heat deserve a ton of credit, a ton. They've done everything the Celtics have not in terms of their mental toughness, in terms of their approach, their business-like. And yeah, there's a little trash talking. There's a little something-something going on extracurricular with Grant Williams and Jimmy Butler and then Jimmy and Al Horford last night. But the Heat have earned that. Can you do me a favor, Producer Jay? Let me know when you have it. Go back to what Jimmy Butler said. Shoot, I forgot what day this series tipped off. But last week, before game number one, we were doing a preview. It was actually right after. So we were combining kind of Western Conference Finals opener in which the Nuggets had staked their claim against the Lakers. And then we said to you, Heat and Celtics open up tonight. And Jimmy Butler, while you can't necessarily call this a guarantee, you can definitely call it a guarantee. He put it out there because they believe that they have the right formula. And now they have the offense to back it up. So again, I circle back to their offense being one of the statistical worst in the league all year long. But they've always played defense. They've always been tenacious and physical. And honestly, if they were going to win at all in the regular season, at some stretches, all they had was their defense. They had to make their opponents look as ugly as possible. But now they've got the 1-2 punch. Not only do they have a defense that is soul-crushing at times, they have a defense that makes opponents work their arses off. And that could be part of the reason why Jason Tatum has no, now he's turned the ball over a bunch, but why he has no field goals in the fourth quarter of this series yet. Because he's having to work so hard for everything. They harass him. And that's what they do. This would be illegal in a place of business. The Miami Heat harass you with their defense. And that's supposed to give them a cushion. But now they've got the offense. And they've got the spacing. And they're swinging the ball around. And they're causing the Celtics to chase. The Celtics defense, which was one of the best in the league last year on the way to the NBA Finals, and which we saw against the 76ers. Didn't see it against the Hawks, though, which made me kind of nervous. I remember I said it multiple times here on the show. If this is the defense that the Celtics are planning on playing through the playoffs, they're not going to last very long. We saw flashes of that championship defense or championship defensive mentality against the Sixers. Matchup issues, right? The Sixers are relatively soft. But against the Heat, who are the opposite of soft, they're the antithesis of soft. You get a fight. The Heat will fight you over everything. They fight, they scratch, they claw. That's their MO. That's how they got here. And the Celtics defense, it's not been able to keep up, which is crazy to say. But they've spaced them out. They've swung the ball around the perimeter. The ball moves faster than the people do. I know that's such a huge revelation. It's physics. The ball moves faster than the people. And the Heat are swinging that ball around like nobody's business. And how about this, just for fun? Jimmy Butler was the fourth highest scorer for the Miami Heat in game number three. Oh, it couldn't have gone better for the Heat on Sunday night.
Back to Lowry, back to Martin. He pump fakes with Tatum in his face. Out to Nnamdi for three. Got it! Gabe Vincent embodying perfection in 13 minutes. He's 4-for-4 from the floor. Out to the drive, kicks it out to Tatum. Three ball, he got it. He got hit by Smart. It didn't matter. Timeout, Boston. Man, snaps it to Duncan. Three ball, left corner pocket. Splat! What is happening? The Heat have the soul of the Celtics, and they shouldn't give it back. Heat 56, Celtics 37. With 4:05 remaining here in the second quarter, Jimmy the drive, kicks it to Martin. Out top to Duncan. Open for three. High arcing, ripping off the net. Kaseya Center is running on Duncan. They lob in the Smart, couldn't get it up. Nnamdi the other way for three. Transition, it's a net ripper. He's staring it down. A hand slap with Bam. Timeout. Tatum on the drive, cut off by Bam. Nice little heavy move. Lost the ball. Jimmy has it. Working down the right side. Snaps it to Nnamdi. Sidestep. Kicks it to Caleb. Long two. He got it to go. Only Tatum and Brown have scored in double figures for Boston. 14 and 12, respectively. Not enough. Jimmy sidestep. He rolls in a long two from inside the arc on the right side.
Got at least another game.
Game is loose. Cook 'em a goose.
Six.
What? Threes. In nine tries, he has 29.
A career-high 29 for Gabe Vincent. And yes, he goes 6 of 9 from beyond the arc. And he led the team in scoring. It wasn't Jimmy Butler. It wasn't Bam Adebayo. It was Gabe Vincent. And it was Duncan Robinson with 22 as he hit 5 triples. They were lights out from beyond the arc. But honestly, the entire game, the offense was contagious and the Celtics did not run enough interference. Not even close. This team, the Miami Heat, that was so bad all season in terms of offense, shot 57% in this game. And the crowd was on fire, as you can imagine. The third quarter is when it all came apart. I was listening to Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell on the Celtics radio network, and they went to a timeout. I think at this point it was nearly a 30-point lead. And Sean closes out the segment or closes out that particular stretch going into the timeout with, and the Celtics have surrendered. That was in the third quarter, and the Celtics have surrendered. Eric Spoelstra, he knows exactly what he's getting from the Heat. He knows exactly what they have to do to win.
We were able to get the game on our terms and sustain it, you know, even, you know, through some of the runs in the first half and early in the third quarter. That was a solid, mature, professional approach. You know, there's a lot of pent-up stuff here. And we're getting closer, but, you know, we still have to finish this off.
We just needed, you know, the ups and downs prepared us for these moments. They prepared us for, you know, going 11-3 in the postseason. Still having a great opportunity to go further in this playoff run. So for us, it's not shocking because, y'all not around, but y'all don't see the work that a lot of guys put in, you know. And, you know, it's speaking volume right now in this postseason. So for us, I don't believe it's a surprise or a shocker.
I don't know if surprise is the word. I mean, we played well tonight. We defended. We made shots. We forced them into turnovers. Yeah. And it was just great to be home. I think we rode the momentum of our crowd as well.
15 turnovers by the Boston Celtics. And again, that's including a fourth quarter in which none of the starters were still on the court. Actually, Marcus Smart was out there to begin the fourth quarter. And I thought, what in the world? But I guess they needed somebody out there to run the point. So the Miami Heat have built themselves a lead that no NBA team has ever, ever overcome. A 3-0 lead on their way to what would be their first NBA Finals appearance since the days of the Big Three. Oh, no. No, I take that back. They were in 2020. I forgot about the bubble. Yeah. Since 2020. You know, all those years ago. I forgot about the bubble. How can I forget about the bubble? It was so strange. But honestly, if you need to be reminded of the bubble, well, then you just have to listen to Jamal Murray and what he says about how that was training ground for the Denver Nuggets, who are also sitting on a 3-0 lead. The Celtics with some pretty pointed comments after the fact, and I do appreciate that Joe Mazzulla put this on himself, but there's no way. These are, as Jason Tatum wanted to remind us, humbly, I'm one of the best basketball players in the world. There is no way, in good conscience, anybody in that Celtics locker room could blame their coach for this. The coach may draw up a play, change the starting lineup, alter the defense, which that's not really what happened. The coach doesn't have to tell you, oh yeah, this game matters. Hey, by the way, did you know that you're down 0-2 and game 3 is really important in Miami? Hey, by the way, you should really come out with all the intensity that you could possibly muster. Hey, did you know if you lose this game, no team has ever come back from it in an NBA playoff series? Do we really need Joe Mazzulla to repeat that to these veterans in his locker room? Stop it. Stop it with a this is on Joe Mazzulla. No. Now, he's part of the equation. I'm not saying he's completely absolved. It's the entire team. But those Celtics don't need a head coach who has worked with them. It's not like he just showed up on the scene. He was part of their run last year to the NBA Finals. This group knows each other well. They don't need a freaking coach to tell them this game's important and that you're facing a life or death in the playoff situation. A playoff life or death. Okay. We'll hear from them coming up. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, take our poll. Heat or Panthers? Which 8 seed, considering the path, is making the more unexpected run? And just ignore producer Jay's creative use of the English language.
Sorry.
Do you think people still know what we're talking about?
I think so.
You think they're figuring it out?
I think so.
All right, cool. Great. Because you know how much I love errors in our tweets.
I need the edit button. Come on, Elon.
Oh, we need you to read it before you post it.
There's an edit button. I mean, it's just a simple thing.
So you don't have to read it before you post it then. Nah, that'd be too hard. That'd be like the Celtics showing up in a game 3 with their backs against the wall and thinking, wow, we actually have to win this game. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Ah, hammock. Check. Arnold Palmer. Check. Motorized solar shades. Yes, please. Get your home and patio spring ready with brand new custom window coverings from Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the easiest way to upgrade your home with custom window treatments. You can even stay in the hammock while Blinds.com handles the install. Just click installation at checkout and relax while we do the work for you. No matter how many window treatments you order, installation is always one low cost. Need help choosing? Talk to a Blinds.com design expert for free to help you make the best selection from classic shutters to outdoor roller shades and more. With over 25 million windows covered, you can rest easy with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. See why Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings with over 40,000 five-star reviews. Shop Blinds.com and save 40% off selected products. 40% off selected products at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Attention listeners.
I'm pleased to announce that Radio Rental is returning for another installment of Terrifying Tales. If you happen to be new here, I'm Terry Carnation, current proprietor of the Radio Rental Video Store, where I possess a collection of the scariest true stories you've ever heard, all told by real people. Mark your calendars for... Oh, apparently it's available right now. I'm a little late with this promo.
Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
All right. Game 3 of the 2023 Eastern Conference Final belongs to the Heat. Largest margin of victory of this postseason for Miami as they win by 26 and improve, just like their counterparts over in the West, to 3-0 in this Eastern Conference final.
I just didn't have him ready to play. Yeah, I just didn't have him ready to play. I should have, whatever it was, whether it was a starting lineup, whether it was an adjustment, just I have to get them in a better place, ready to play, and that's on me.
I don't even know where to start. It's obvious letdown. I feel like we let our fan base organization down. We let ourselves down. And it was collective. We can point fingers. But in reality, it was just embarrassing.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jaylen Brown just says it like it is. It's reality. I don't even know where to start. It was embarrassing. But if even one of these players, and this could be behind the scenes, if even one of these players dares to point a finger at their coach, they should be ashamed of themselves. You should give up your NBA Players Association membership if you're actually going to blame your coach for what you did on the court. Again, we're not talking X's and O's, and we're not talking about a team that needs its hand held. This is not some upstart young roster that has never been through this before. And I'm telling you what, Jason Tatum would never tell you that a coach is in charge of what he does on the court. I mean, a coach is a manager in the NBA. They manage playing time. They manage rosters. They manage egos. They certainly can make adjustments, out of bounds plays. I get all that. But a coach isn't responsible for you being mentally prepared to do your job. No more than my boss is responsible for me being mentally prepared to host my show on the night of the Super Bowl, which is our biggest night of the week or the biggest night of the year. No one has to tell me that's a big night. I do this for a living, just like they do. And they should be ashamed of themselves. They should be embarrassed. But also, you cannot let your coach take the fall for this. He just got the interim tag removed from his name. I can't imagine that the Celtics brass would blame this on Mazzulla. But there are those rumblings because that's what happens. Coaches are expendable. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, excuse me, on CBS Sports Radio. I'm so fired up. Actually, it's a Monday morning, so these things tend to tumble out of my mouth now. So Joe Mazzulla says, I should have had them prepared, better prepared, yada, yada, yada. Al Horford, yeah, this is not on Mazzulla.
Coach is saying that he's being generous, but at the end of the day, that falls on each player. We know what we have to do. We knew the magnitude of this game, and as a player, I take responsibility because, you know, we didn't have what we needed to have. So that's what that is.
But how does that happen? It's one thing to lose. It's entirely another to be humiliated and not be ready to play. It's completely different. Al Horford, minus 21 in game three. Jaylen Brown, minus 25. Jason Tatum, minus 23. I mean, anyone want to hear what Jason thinks about what went wrong in game number three?
From the beginning of the game, we was turning the ball over. We didn't shoot the ball well. They shot the ball extremely well. And it just kind of felt like we never recovered, honestly. And that's on all of us as a unit. You know, we didn't play well at all. And, you know, obviously by the score, it showed.
We just got to come out and play basketball. Come out with a great mentality. Come out and have some pride about yourself. Come out and have some pride about, you know, who you playing for. You know, have some pride about whatever. And just come out and play basketball. I believe we can win the next one. So we just got to come out and play.
That famed Celtic pride. That's what Jaylen Brown is talking about. Before that, Jason Tatum. Three straight games for him in which he did not have a single field goal in the fourth quarter. It was stunning considering the way he polished off the Sixers. One more that you might end up hearing from Joe Mazzulla on this Monday. The question was posed about whether or not his voice is still effective in the locker room. I'm paraphrasing. Whether or not it's a locker room that he's lost or they're not responding to him. Again, ridiculous. Why do you need your coach to give you a pep talk in the locker room when you're in the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals? These are not teenagers. These are veterans. These are polished professionals, or they should be. But the question was posed about Mazzulla and his voice in the locker room and whether or not he's doing enough, he's saying enough.
At the time, you think you say what needs to be said, but at the same time, like, I just have to be better. I got to make sure when we step on that floor that we're ready to execute, we're ready to be physical, we're ready to play harder than the other team. That's my job.
I mean, did it change from game number two? Did they not know from games one and two in Boston? The line of questioning is somewhat ludicrous because, again, if you understand how pro sports work and especially look at the makeup of this team, there's no way that Joe Mazzulla needs to give them any type of last minute words of encouragement. Now, during the game, of course, there's a lot that can be said. But if the players are tuning out the coach that helped them have the second best record in the NBA this season, that took over for Ime Udoka and made sure that they had what they need. They were equipped. He made the adjustment to put Rob Williams back in the starting lineup against the Sixers. Remember that adjustment? If they're turning on him, which there's no indication that they are, it's more just questions from the media trying to figure out what the heck just happened. But if they actually make him a fall guy, I hope, as fans, you would lose respect for them. It was too easy for Miami. Everything was so easy. And again, I'll just go back to that Hawks series. I was a little bit nervous for the Celtics considering how many points the Hawks were scoring. And the Heat have now found that groove. And they are dunking and driving and taking wide open shots routinely.
Damn right.
Oh, dear. And the one thing the Heat don't do is cough up double-figure leads at halftime.
Hell no.
When they have the lead and they have the foot on your throat as an opponent, they tend to protect it. I mean, they have all the tenacity and the mental edge. But now they've got the offense to go along with that defense. I mean, every time I look up, there's another Bam Adebayo alley-oop and dunk. Another fast break. Another Gabe Vincent three. The whiteout in Miami, full effect. And Jimmy Butler, also being petty. But you know what? If you stay petty, you don't have to go petty. If you didn't see it, he was imitating Al Horford, who, going back to the opener of the series, had gestured to the Heat bench when the Celtics were on a run. They desperately needed a timeout. So Horford was gesturing to the Heat bench, hey, like, I'll call a timeout for you. You need one. Well, Jimmy Butler returned the favor last night, signaling for a timeout because the Celtics, yeah, they could have taken seven timeouts, and it wouldn't have made a difference. No team's ever come back from 3-0 or from 0-3 down in a playoff series in the NBA. It will happen eventually. I don't think it's going to be Lakers or Celtics. Did you guys see the tweet from Magic Johnson? I'll read it to you because it was significant. In my 44 years of being associated with the NBA, I never thought I'd see a Boston Celtics team, a franchise with 17 championships, quit. Quit. That's a tough word. I know Celtics fans all over the world must be disgusted and devastated. Charles Barkley was certainly having fun with it. They had Gabe Vincent on the set, and Vincent was talking about what the Heat did well in Game 3 and what they expect from the Celtics moving forward.
You know, they're a really good team. They're a well-coached team. They got stars. They're not going to lay down. So, you know, we got to come in and handle business on Tuesday.
Yeah, clearly you didn't watch the game tonight. Yo, stop coming. Coming well-coached and don't lay down. Go oh, look at the tape again.
Oh,
easy.
No. Oh, no.
His name is Jason Taylor.
That's the one we're getting in the Eastern Conference Finals, the alter ego of Jason Tatum. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, take our poll. We're asking you Heat or Panthers. Which one is on a more unexpected run as an 8 seed if you consider who they've had to go through to get to the verge of their sports championship series? Also on our Facebook page, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Tale story.
Your points are worth more than you think. This first-class flight to Tokyo, you can book it in your credit card portal for 1.4 million points. Yowzers. With PointMe, you could redeem just 120,000 points for that same flight. Now that's more like it. PointMe gets you 6 to 12 times the value for your points. Your credit card points are worth more than you think. PointMe. Better flights. Fewer points.
Get started today at point.me. That's point.me.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you.
Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give Grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.
Gets better. A home run for Michael Black.
This is After Hours with Amy Lauren.
I hope you saw this moment on Sunday at the PGA Championship. Boy, do I hope you saw this moment. If not, please check it out on social media. He is a name that you will hear a bunch on this Monday following the PGA Championship won by Brooks Koepka. But next breath, Brooks Koepka and Michael Block, who stole the show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Jim Nantz with the call of a hole-in-one on the 15th on Sunday by not a PGA Tour professional. No, a PGA Club pro, a teaching pro. They're allowed to compete in the PGA Championship. It's part of the tradition. If you finish in the top 15... well, then you get a chance to do it again next year. You get free entry in. So this one requires qualification. Next year, not so much for Michael Block from Mission Viejo, California. The fans, they recognize this once-in-a-lifetime moment for a guy that was playing on Sunday with Rory McIlroy. He was extremely emotional, as you can imagine. Didn't even realize the ball had gone into the cup on the fly. It never hit the green. It never bounced. It went right into the cup. Rory knew it. Goes over to give him a hug. Michael doesn't have any idea. So that walk down the 15th hole was pretty incredible because the fans were, they were full throat. They never stopped. And it was again on the 18th. Which we'll get to. He had to have an up and down in order to finish in the top 15, but he did. This was one of the coolest stories of the tournament, maybe one of the coolest stories in golf that you'll hear all season long. Michael Block, a hole-in-one on the 15th, and an experience he will never forget.
Rory hits. He misses the green right. I'm just like, oh. I'm like, yeah, you can't go there, right? And so then I'm over my tee shot, and the crowd goes crazy. Like, the crowd went nuts. I hadn't even hit yet. So I had to, like, step back. I'm like, this is pretty cool, right? This huge reception I haven't even hit. So I sit back for a sec. I'm like, this is cool, but I got this, like, nice flighted seven. I could either hit, a hard eight, but all day long when I try to hit anything hard, I was pulling it. And so I'm like, I'm just going to flight a little seven in there into the breeze from, like, 150. It was playing about 167 in my head. And so I hit it, and it's just right at it, but I can't see it. I'm like, just like right now. And all of a sudden, it disappears, whatever. And I'm like, cool. And I'm like, thanks, guys. And Rory's walking down the pathway, and he's about 20 yards away from me, and he turns around, starts walking back at me with his arms open to give me a hug. And he goes, you made it. I go, what? I'm like, seriously? He's like, yeah, you did. Dude, you made it. He's like, had to tell me five times that I made it. So it's a pretty cool experience to have Rory be telling me that I made a hole in one in front of God knows how many people that were supporting me.
The atmosphere out there playing with Michael was unbelievable. He, you know, we both got amazing support, but you know, he got unbelievable support, understandably so, being in this position as a club pro and playing so well and, you know, competing into the latter stages of a major championship. It was really impressive, and it was nice to go out there and share the course with him for 18 holes.
Mm, Rory McIlroy, so supportive of Michael Block, and Block emotional, understandably. And then on the 18th, he was able to get up and down to maintain his status in the top 15. He did an interview on CBS with Amanda after Amanda, who's the reporter. Balionis is what she used to be. She's married now. But she did the interview with him after and was talking about how his son had been following him the whole time back in California and just got him to break down.
It's amazing. I'm living a dream. I'm making sure that I enjoy this moment. I've learned that after my 46 years of life, that it's not going to get better than this. There's no way. No chance in hell. So I'm going to enjoy this, and thank you.
Yes, Amanda Balionis Renner is her name, and that was her interview with Michael Block, and he thanked her for getting him to cry his eyes out. Nothing could ever compare with this. This is the best day of my life, except guess what? He's already eligible for Valhalla in the PGA Championship next year, and he's able now to compete in multiple other PGA Tour events because there are sponsors exemptions and sponsors invites coming in. This is what happens. You make some noise at a golf tournament, and all of a sudden, other sponsors and other tournaments want you to come in, even if you haven't qualified. So here's this club pro, not a PGA Tour pro, but a club pro, and he steals the show. Amazing. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You know who else is not a PGA pro anymore? That would be Brooks Koepka. But he also stole the show on Sunday, his third Wanamaker trophy, his fifth major. But the relief, the release, the emotion that we saw from him after was largely tied to the fact that he spent the last 2 years battling what were serious physical maladies, a knee injury that nearly ended his career, a wrist injury. He admits he wasn't sure he'd ever get back to the point where he could compete for a major again.
It's very hard to explain. It's just, you can't fathom how difficult it is just to get going. I mean, it was a lot worse than I let on to you guys, to let on to everybody. Like I said, I think maybe only 5-6 people really know the extent of it. And it's just, it was hard. I mean, cold weather, it's achy. The swelling didn't go down till maybe a couple months ago. But, so that's almost, 2 years? It's been a long road, but look, that's who I am. I'm open and honest. I know I seem like this big, bad, tough guy on the golf course that doesn't smile, doesn't do anything. But if you catch me off the golf course, I'll let you know what's going on. And I'm happy they got that side, right? That's truly me. And some people might hate it. Some people might dog it. But at the end of the day, it's just me.
He says, I know I look like this big, bad guy on the golf course who doesn't smile, who doesn't do anything. when he's healthy, he's one of the best players in the world. And when he's healthy, he is a threat to win any tournament. So congratulations to Brooks Koepka. Now, he's no longer part of the PGA Tour, but I actually had this revelation as I was watching him on Sunday and then thinking about his injuries. It makes a lot more sense now. It might be easy to say all these guys left the PGA for the LIV Tour because it was more money. And I suppose it is more money. But think about Brooks' perspective. 2 years ago, he didn't know if he'd ever be healthy enough to compete with the best in the world. He didn't know if he would have 5 more years, 10 more years in his career. And again, not knowing if he was going to be able to compete at the highest level. So the LIV Tour is more appealing because it's guaranteed money and you don't play nearly as many tournaments. To me, it makes perfect sense. Also, do we have time for him to talk about LIV? So the LIV tournament guys are still getting a lot of backlash, but he was asked about, it's a ball and a tee, whether or not it bothers him.
I hear it all. I just don't care. That's sports, right? They're going to, you got to be mentally tough enough not to, some lady was chanting some stuff and another guy was shouting at some stuff, but it's you got to be mentally tough enough not to deal with them. It happens in every sport. I'm pretty sure when Tom Brady was playing, I'm sure when he walked into when he was playing the Jets or the Dolphins, he wasn't exactly cheered upon when he ran into the stadium.
No, he definitely was not, but he would run in and he would do his yell anyway with the Patriots fans who were in the corner of the other stadiums. So congratulations to Brooks Koepka. Again, if you see his body language at the 18th where he makes that putt. And remember, he lost at the Masters because he couldn't close out. So here he is now healthy and a threat yet again with the LIV guys being able to compete in these majors. Maybe tonight we'll let you hear what Bryson DeChambeau, you know, his new BFF, had to say about the win. Have a great Monday. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
When it comes to clothes, it's great to have options. But having pieces that you can wear anywhere is a must for everybody. That's why American Giant makes clothing that fits into your life seamlessly, with quality you have to feel to believe. And with an impressive selection of staples to choose from, there's something for everyone. So whether you're on the hunt for the perfect t-shirt, a solid pair of jeans, or super soft sweatshirts, American Giant has what you're looking for. Each American Giant piece is designed to last and created with commitment to doing things better. And all their products are made right here in America. Because keeping things local ensures the kind of quality you'll feel and appreciate for years to come. Discover the American Giant difference today. Shop Wear Anywhere Closet Staples at American-Giant.com and get 20% off your order when you use code WA23 at checkout. That's 20% off at American-Giant.com, promo code WA23.